Primeramente, ¿cómo están, muchachos?
Muy bien.
El señor Enzo, ¿cómo estamos? ¿Cómo estamos?
Muy bien, Manuel. Gusto verlo.
Estamos a pelear. Porque tiene el más Vidal y quiere ser cubano, güey. Que a todos mis cubanos ahí. Y está ahí, ¿es un chico Madrid right now, güey?
¿Desafío?
No, I'm saying.
Let me get the Metal Gear Solid out of here. The snake.
Metal Gear Solid. I heard they're doing gonna remake it for the Snake Eater again, basically. The third one for PS5.
Oh, for real?
Mm-hmm.
It's that one? I thought it was the second one.
Nah, I wish it would have been Sons of Liberty, but it's gonna be Snake Eater from what I saw. But yeah, that's remember that game, Byron?
Which one, number one or number two?
All of them. Snake Eater.
Yeah, the one.
No, like, Snake Eater, I remember playing it.
Snake.
I played it at your house a lot.
Snake. Yeah.
Comedor de Culebra.
I heard.
It was a good game, good series.
Yeah, definitely, man. So, besides that,
so beating Enzo at FIFA, huh?
Beating Enzo at
what?
FIFA.
What? Beating Enzo?
I mean, beating
you
Enzo
lost
at
too,
you,
bro.
I'm on the field against you, so I know.
All right, so we talking about that?
Don't talk about that.
That card was terrible.
Oh no, that wasn't the.
See, that day I beat you too. So
yeah, of course you did.
You're still like one game behind it if we're counting all the games together. The major global.
The major global.
Because it's like weekends on connected. On.
So yeah. All the weeks we played.
You know me, bro. It's all connected. But
what would you do, Enzo, if there was a barber union?
What was it? What would I do?
If there was a,
I try to be the leader of it.
Is there a barber union?
I think there is something like that, but it's not like
for them to try to like get like
it's not medical care
and all that.
Nah, it's not like that.
I don't think
it's like that. And if it is, it's like maybe there's like a barber union in like the industry as far as not a barber union, it's like a stylist thing in the SAG. I think it's with the SAG with like the actors and all that shit.
Oh, so if you're like within the industry.
Like if you're a stylist,
so
and all
they have a union. But it's not like the barbers
but
outside.
Us, we're too independent.
Gotcha.
So they don't wanna like people, a lot of barbers don't want to sign up and they would like to be in their own. We're too fight the power, bro. You know what I'm saying? So I feel like that's why there's no union. There's no unity in that barber.
Community.
I mean, we just experienced something, Mauricio. I showed you what the shop experienced this week. We had somebody trying to defame us, or one of us.
Oh, yeah, that shit was crazy.
And that shit is kind of interesting. Like, this is a gentleman that's not from this country.
You haven't told Manny about that, huh?
I haven't. He's about to learn about it right now. It's a gentleman that's not from this country.
Mm-hmm.
And he came in, got a haircut from one of the barbers, and recorded him the whole way through. And then the barber mentioned it to me. He's like, yo, this is interesting. The guy was getting, I was cutting his hair, but he told me at the end that he was a barber, bro, but the whole time he was recording me. And I was like, how is he recording? He was like, he just had it on front camera just recording me. And I was like, oh, that's interesting. We didn't think nothing of it or whatever, right? And then a few days went on, and then he got a DM from an Instagram account that only has one follower.
Mm-hmm.
And saying that, hey man, this guy posted this about you. I don't think he got your consent, or if he did, this is wrong. Like, I think he's trying to just siphon clients to his shop and all this. And he's basically did a video of what not to do as a barber and all that. Just being and the thing that irked my thing is that when he told him that he was a barber for 17 years, he smiled in his face, and the smile was so fake, bro. Like, if I show it to you, you're gonna be like, what the heck? And then the walk in and do all that, and then the haircut wasn't even bad to me. It wasn't bad. I was like, whatever.
It wasn't bad at all.
It wasn't bad at all. To me, it was like whatever, in the sense of like whatever you asked for, he gave it to you, and you're over here making it worse because.
But then you're comparing someone who claims they have 17 years of experience
from another country, though.
Versus a guy that might not have that many years of experience.
That part, but then my thing is, you're from another country.
Mm-hmm.
You were taught different. Your technique is different. So then my thing is, if you've been barbering for 17 years in your country, when you come in over here, if you're not licensed, all that don't count.
Because
I would respect you if you were licensed.
Just about it. Just like any other profession, basically.
Right. I would respect it here if you were licensed here. And then you talk smack.
Which way did he disrespect them? Like, was he talking?
He just made a whole reel about what not to do as a barber.
Yeah, bro. Honestly, it's just something that it's like, Just think about someone like, I don't know. I mean, it's just it's coming in there and doing, you doing something like a video.
Yeah, he did like an undercover boss.
Yeah, he type thing.
But he not the boss.
I know, but I'm just,
he should have been in my chair, bro. Right, right.
I'm giving an analogy, just a comparison of what he did, where he went undercover, you know, and
all the comments are from the people from his country.
Yeah.
No. So
there was one comment
very popular from
there was one comment where he says something about, oh, he asked me if I wanted something to drink, and then I said no, but I'll take water at the end. And then this was like, he didn't give me water at the end, this and that. And I'm just like, well, if you want water at the end, you can just ask for it again. Like, it's not a big deal that he was more concerned about your haircut at that point.
He's being
like,
very particular. What,
yeah, like, all this bullshit to me.
And I was like, if your etiquette in your country is that way, and this country is a whole different way, bro.
And to make a video about it, what pisses me off, bro, is that this guy has a barbershop down the street right next to the fucking CVS and the...
Tarzana.
Right there, right there. You know what I'm talking about? That little shopping center? So I'm like, bro...
So am I going to his barbershop and then I'm making it real?
That's what I'm saying, bro.
I need a haircut right now. I gotta ask my barber if I can cheat for a good purpose.
Hell no.
And then he's got
you would have to do something like scandalous, like get up halfway and be like, nah, bro, I didn't ask for
this. You're gonna have to hit him with the Dominican.
Yeah, bro, go in there like you just speak Spanish. Like,
¿qué onda, papi? Like, necesito papi que me corte así, me recorte.
He said, hey, what the fuck are you doing there? What the fuck are you doing there? You gotta hit him with one of those, that. Bro. Yeah, dog.
Just know that I'll fix it when you
and
come
I'll just
back.
Be there. I'll just be there, like, if I'm the next one to get a cut, bro. Just filming the whole
this
shit.
This had
bro.
Me like, and guess what? Guess what, guess what I did? Guess what I did? Guess what I did? Guess what I did? Let me just read you guys what I did.
Did you comment on his thing or what?
I went to the same, because then I went to the, I was on the New Life page and I got the same DM that Eddie gets.
Mm-hmm.
And then I sent a message back saying, as a business owner, this is defamatory. I can seek legal for his lack of professionalism if, in fact, he is a barber himself. But I'm sure he is not even a barber licensed in the United States. And then that was just seen on Saturday, right?
Mm-hmm.
So then yesterday I reply, I sent another message. So do you know him or are you, in fact, him? Because one follower seems very suspect and they haven't seen it yet. So I'm just like, it'd be interesting. Yeah, now I'm blocked.
Exactly, bro. Yeah, bro. Honestly, it's something that I'm not
him, bro.
Definitely not okay
it's
with, bro. And it's like, bro, I don't even want to say what I'm doing on camera, bro. But like, or that, or what should be done, better said. Nothing violent or anything like that, not at all. But you know, what I mean, it's just it's some stuff, bro. But yeah, man. So you know,
so some Google reviews or what?
Well, yeah. What did you do?
With that, I haven't done anything because I feel like God's gonna take care of it. Because
for the most part, I
feel like I should be flattered
for the most
that somebody's
part.
Somebody's like trying to
well,
shit
hate,
on my
hate
brand.
Usually, is you're doing something, right?
You know, like they're trying to shit on my brand. He's not on the boulevard, you know, and like, hey,
yeah,
man.
I just don't like that. It's like we're not even a mile away, bro. That is something that I'm like, oh, bro, like you're asking for like trouble at this point. I'm sorry,
And I'm not the type of person that wants to bring trouble to anybody. But if you're
nah, not even to bring trouble, yeah, that's what I'm
it's
saying.
When,
like,
and you're not even like you don't know that. Like to me, I wanted to when it first happened, I wanted to go there and talk to him, like man to man, be like, bro, what country are you in? Just starting off with that, what country are you in? He's gonna say United States. All right. So what makes you think this is okay in the United States? As like anybody can say, oh, it's freedom of speech and all this BS, right? But I'm like, bro, we're in a barber community. Mm-hmm. I know that you guys carry yourselves in a certain way.
So did you teach your barbers not to consent to being filmed?
Nah, I feel like now it's gonna be that. I feel like it's gonna be to their discretion. You know what I'm saying? Like, because and now they could be aware because this is something that's alarming. That I was like, yo, because
he consented to it.
He didn't.
Oh, he didn't.
He didn't. He just started cutting hair, and he's like noticed that he was filming him.
So then, when your barber can take legal action because that was filmed without his consent.
Exactly, bro. So that's my now that I'm blocked explains a lot.
Mm-hmm.
So maybe we just meet and make a that day, like where we walk over with and like we have to press the issue because respectfully, I would ask for no legal action to be taken would be they man take it down, bro.
Yeah. Pretty much.
Yeah, it's like why do you want to ruin that barber's reputation? That barber's young. There's no reason to go after
and he
that
ain't
barber.
Do nothing to you.
Exactly.
You came in asking for a haircut, and he's cutting.
Didn't talk trash to you. He didn't treat you wrong.
He treated you with respect. Like, I got film of everything too. I got 2 terabytes of space in my thing where I can look back and see what it is. And
you should save that.
I'm just like kind of shocked that this is what we're doing in 2023. But
all I'm gonna say, bro. You watched, I think, the first couple or maybe a season of it, bro. All I'm gonna say is Jimmy McGill, bro. That's all I'm gonna say. Slipping Jimmy, dog. Better call Mowdy, huh? If you don't, bro. You know what I'm saying? Because it's just like, bro, I can't be doing that kind of stuff, bro.
Yeah.
I'm not a lawyer, nothing like that, but I know the legal laws too, bro.
Man, it's disrespectful. Yeah, man. At the end of the day, that's what it is. It's disrespectful. But I understand that you, like, his whole thing is he's got to please. Because you said that he has a large following. So if he has a large following, he's trying to please. He's trying to make content. So I understand that part of it. But at the same time, I'm like, dude, you're doing content at the sake of hurting a barber's reputation. Because it's like you're hurting this up-and-comer barber. This barber who's making a name for himself. And now you're hurting him by putting him out there.
Yeah.
And you don't know what opportunities you can cost him. Just by doing that. And it's not like he offended you. It's not like he said something wrong to you. It's not like, you know, he disrespected you in order for you to even be critiquing him like that.
It's just weird, bro. It's just very weird and very cowardly to do that, because it's funny now that I'm blocked from that thing. It just makes me want to read what they sent me. This guy posted this video of one of your barbers. Not sure if he got consent or not, but he's basically using him as a what not to do and making fun of him. The guy works for a barbershop called and is trying to siphon himself clients. It didn't feel right given he didn't even tag him so he could respond. I just thought you guys would like to know. And I reply with, you been here before? Do you know him? And then I said what I said earlier. As a business owner, this is defamatory, blah, 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 right? Seen yesterday, blocked shortly after. So it's alarming, man.
Yeah, it's funny if you snitched on himself too. Like, hey, go watch this shit.
This is where we need the barber union, right?
Yeah, you know, something like that, you know.
The barber union could step in and be like, settle the dispute.
Yeah.
In the octagon.
And then the union rep.
In the octagon. Like,
hey, man, Elon Musk and fucking
UFC 300. I don't believe that. Actually,
I would have to promote somebody that's in that guy's weight class because I'm a featherweight. So, Mauricio, you have to end that for me, brother.
How much do you weigh, actually?
I'm like 120 something, right?
So you're more like a flyweight, my boy.
Oh, flyweight. You see, I'm flyweight.
How do you say that? How do they say
he
that?
Flies away.
How do they say that in peso pluma? Is how you say it in class, but peso de.
Oh shit, you're like heavyweight.
Yeah, do you know what they say? Yeah, I know. You know what they say?
Come on, John Jones.
For peso like flyweight. What do they call it in Spanish?
Nice.
Peso pulga, I think they said something like that. They call it something like that. Yeah, something like that.
It's a pluma.
No, that's pluma, but I'm trying to see what they call it in that one, bro.
But is flyweight is
pluma is featherweight.
No, yeah. Peso pluma is featherweight, bro.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Okay.
You know what I mean? So
pluma is
featherweight.
Flyweight means you fly away.
Peso pulga?
It's Quranic that you fly away.
La pulga solo
es.
Peso mosca.
Peso mosca.
Sí, güey. Bro, when they that's the flight class that what's his name fight Brandon Moreno's at. That's his weight class, bro.
Mosca?
Yeah, he's at flyweight, 125. So, cuz 135 is bantamweight.
So Enzo's peso Mosca.
Mosca, yeah, fool.
No mames.
No mames. So is Byron technically.
Yeah. In between.
Well, yeah, cuz you're like at that.
Hey, did you guys see the Kevin Hart special?
We're watching a little bit.
I was watching it. I'm
watching an ant right now. It's crazy.
Oh, bro. Yo, that to me was hilarious, bro. He was like, go look up a picture of an ant, bro.
It's an ant right now.
And I went to go look up a picture of an ant. Nah, that's too. The waist has to be more socada.
Yeah, it is, bro.
That's an ant.
That's an ant. It is a BBL. Yeah,
I feel you. Okay. So, yeah, we watched it. It was good. I got to finish watching it in its entirety because at some point.
You put me onto it. You didn't finish watching it?
I did, but it was like how you said. I stopped paying attention to it like completely after like the first 35 minutes.
Why?
Start doing stuff, you know.
I fucking knocked out. So I finished it today at the shop, but I might double back tonight and watch it. But man, I honestly feel like.
It's interesting. Imagine something like the writer's strike would affect Kevin Hart.
And it did. It has to an extent.
Well, that's if he had people writing his jokes.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. He has. But he just, now I feel like that's why this episode is interesting. I mean, this special. This special was interesting. Thank you. Because
that was in Vegas too.
It was?
Yeah.
Oh shit. Because what he kept the same MO, and then that's what I kind of fuck with it, because
he didn't switch up a lot.
He didn't switch it up. He kept the same thing. He kept the same, like, he pulled from the same energy he's always pulled from.
I like the one about his dad, bro. He was
exactly.
Like, he's like, you got about 20 seconds. The countdown is now before I beat your ass.
Bro, that was hilarious, bro. Yo. Sorry. That shit was funny. And then the 5'5", I'm in 5'5", 5'2", 5'4". Like, that shit was moved
from. He was like, if I we come out 6'6", and my feet are still size 7, he's like the waving guy at the dealership. Bro.
We got that motherfucker outside the barbershop. So, hey, yo, man, Kevin Hart, you still got it, bro. That shit was funny.
Definitely.
It was just, you seen it already, Manny?
I was a little bit watching it. But
oh, okay, okay. Then we got into the other stuff.
I haven't finished it yet.
It's on Peacock. But
what did you guys think about?
No relation.
What do you guys think about Messi's contract?
Well, first of all, he got presented yesterday officially. Yep. He's officially signed.
Did you finish the whole AI talk about Hollywood?
No, you just kind of jumped the gun.
I forgot about that. Hold up. So the AI shit, I just had a brain fart.
That's why I threw out the writer strike. If it would imagine that were to affect
ChatGPT, what you trying to do?
Is that what they're doing with that shit? Because I just saw some shit earlier where they're saying that they want to take the rights from the actors as their images to use AI to artificially make them and use their images for whatever they want. And then some actors are like, nah. And then it stopped the film of Deadpool, supposedly. It brought it to a halt because of
everything to a halt, bro. Anything in the industry that's getting filmed right now is a screeching halt.
Right now, the actors are united.
There's a strike going on everywhere, I feel like.
The Teamsters with UPS.
Yeah, UPS.
Teamsters, UPS Teamsters.
Well, I heard that the hotels right now are striking, like the chefs and shit.
Okay.
One of my clients, I saw him posting that in his Instagram.
UPS, because they want a $6 raise.
Shit.
Yeah. And they're also talking about putting AC in the trucks.
They should have been done that. There's already been fatalities.
Well, I think they're already doing that. That was something that I think was going to be done, but it has a lot to do with the for sure pay, I believe.
What do you guys think about inflation and pay? Because I feel like if they're gonna go up pay, they're gonna just go up in inflation.
This is something that kind of like you were talking. We're talking about a couple weeks ago. We were talking about Drake tickets. I think anything like that too has also been affected by something by like inflation. You know what I'm saying?
Well, nah. So if you look at what Drake is using to fucking perform, but he's using a hologram that's handing him something, bro.
No, but at the same time, even for like lower tier, even for lower tier actors,
when it's actually passing it to him, it's a person. It's been debunked.
I didn't see the debunking. Because
the first, it's a hologram, but then there's an actual person that hands him the book. That's all. Because everybody was confused on like, how does he get an actual book if it's a hologram?
Right.
Yeah.
So how did he do it? What's the optical illusion that I didn't see?
They say it's a person that's there.
Is he rising there at the same time?
Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's why I feel like he's charging that much.
So I feel like even for lower tier artists, there's also higher prices, even for smaller venues.
Yeah, hell yeah.
So it's inflation is infecting everything, bro.
How much paid for Eladio?
Bro, yeah. And we're watching him at the House of Blues. Yeah.
When?
When he came out on the pre-sale.
Thanks for the invite.
You are so welcome.
It's never too late.
You too, brother.
You're always the type of person. I'm going to get that day. I'll get that day. You're always that type of person, bro.
Fuck you guys, man.
You know what I'm saying? You always have your side.
I'm throwing my phone above you. I'm out.
You're coming to Anaheim with us or not?
Hey, yeah. Bruv. All I got to say is Freddie Gibbs. That's all I'm going to say, dog. All I'm going to say, bruv.
That's why he didn't do it for you.
Exactly, dog.
That's what happened to Freddie Gibbs. Because you didn't want to drive out there. Because it's in Anaheim where we're going.
Yeah, again.
So are you gonna actually want to drive all the way over there? Since you're over here, like, no.
I'm going to say it's Liza Minnelli.
Oh, yeah, bro. but, yeah, I mean, so... You're saying, Byron, that you were telling us before earlier that this writer strike is also like, since you kind of work in the you could say in the payroll industry, if that makes sense.
Right. Yeah, we do payroll for some other.
So they run the payroll through their company. Yeah, yeah. Any freelancers or union workers and all that stuff, they need to do their payroll. So they'll use companies like Byron's that he works for to basically do their payroll. And all payroll.
Stuff. Yeah, so yeah. Pretty much like
what kind of seats are there for those, that thing?
You saying
pretty much? My bad.
What? Pretty much like since the actors are on their strike, so it's there's screenwriters involved, you know, as well. So there's another union. I forgot what the name of it. So since both of them are combining, it's making our workload go less down. Some people even been getting laid off.
So then, people got laid off at your work site?
Yeah. And then now my supervisor takes over the main company because there's like sub companies toward of it. So like pretty much the mother company is not doing that well, but the other companies are like keeping the hold of it. But we also deal with music tours and live events. Now imagine if they go like
that's the thing that's
kind of keeping you guys alive.
That's what I love. I love that side of things because that industry is not unionized. That's all private companies that run those contracts and all that type of stuff. Yeah. So it's like, but I know you say you still deal with them because they get freelancers and all that stuff. So that's why for me, right, working in that industry with Hollywood and all that stuff, like you're at the mercy of that. But what union workers do is that, I mean, I don't know how it works when they go on strike, at least for that specific union, but the other unions that get affected by it, they go on unemployment. I know I had friends in the past that they were set designers and there were those unions for that. Where basically if there's a barbershop scene where they come in, they set up everything, you know, all they have all the props for everything. They go to prop houses, get all the stuff they need and type stuff. And they'll be affected where they're out of work for X amount of days, however long the strike is going. So a lot of the industries get impacted. So I just like that.
Before with COVID put everything on hold. And like, I feel like they're going to be resilient. I just feel that the CEOs, I saw this thing where they're saying that the CEOs don't want to, they're not really yielding to their demands now because of AI. Because now they can get ChatGPT to do all this shit.
And in reality, it does also affect
technically, you could get ChatGPT to write a story. However, you're still going to need an editor. You're still going to need someone to edit that story and add the human element. Because ChatGPT can like generate something for you, but it can't edit it. That's why a lot of people have gotten caught in college.
Right.
Like in college when they're submitting work or submitting homework, it's basically ChatGPT just generating it and they don't even edit it and they just submit it.
It has terrible, it has like some bad grammatical errors. It has like some very unique ways of
saying things.
I like your voice. Sometimes I like the way it breaks it down.
So you guys have all used it. Byron, have you used it?
What, ChatGPT?
Yeah.
I haven't used it, but I saw a South Park episode about it. I know about it.
He would watch South
this guy here.
Tell us about it. Flip it. Tell us about it.
Pretty much, I think it's like Craig. He gets a girlfriend, but he doesn't know how to talk to her. And then they find out about the
ChatGPT learned Texas for him.
Yeah, and he's like, one of the guys, pretty much, he's all like, he knows how to talk to girls, and then he's like, "How do you do it?" And then he's like, "Oh, it's just like this, bro." And he shows him the ChatGPT, the app, bro. And I was like, "What the fuck?" And then I actually Googled it, and I was like, "Oh shit, this actually exists!" And that's
how I found out about it, bro. Fucking Byron, bro. We haven't talked about it on the podcast, I guess.
Woke now.
I haven't used it personally. Oh, I feel you. That's hilarious.
I used it because I remember you were showing me how it can do a song for you.
Oh, and bro, I fucked with it one time. I asked it very specifically, like, what I wanted. Dog, the way that it spit some shit out, I was kind of tripping on that one, bro.
Yeah,
like,
I was laughing because I asked it to do something in Spanish. I made it.
Bro, me too, dog.
Spanish song. It did it, and then I went, oh, no, it needs to be more urban. And it changed the whole language to an urban reggaeton song, bro. I was like, yo, it went from sophisticated Spanish.
I don't know which one do you guys have. Which one do you guys
have? The legit ChatGPT, bro.
It's Genie, right?
No, bro. It's the circle.
It says ChatGPT on it.
Yeah, it says ChatGPT.
See, I have the one that started like... This is the one called Genie. It's a... It was the people that started ChatGPT. I guess now they made it a whole different app now, but like,
bro. This is the same version though that you get on the computer, like the legit one that's on the computer. Like, they made an app version of it. Like this is the original one.
It's a trip, bro, because I've done it to where I can write out like a professional. I've done some professional work with it, but I don't like the way he writes the I've asked him to write some poems or some bars. And like
you have
I
to get very Drake, specific.
Drake's one way. I'll write an Eminem's way. And then...
Bro, you know what?
This app, bro.
I probably had to try it.
Try the app. And then honestly, I had to get very specific with it, bro. So if I'm being honest, what I did with it was I looked up with... forget what it is, bro. Let me look it up when I go to... But what I did was I went up on Google and I looked up like a way that J. Cole has described like his lyrics and all that stuff. And it was like a whole paragraph. So I said, give me a lyric. Give me a song or lyrics to a song with this in mind and whatnot. And that's when it was able to spit out a lot more like specific things of what you wanted and all that stuff.
It's how you feed it, basically.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, it'll keep generating something new to you, bro. I was even asking it to like
Open AI. Poems. That's what it's called. Open. Like, that's the generator.
I was even like do poems kind of in the version of Pablo Neruda, and like that thing will like spit it out and do like poetry for you. I was like,
yeah, it's pretty crazy. But yeah, like I saw this one thing where a teacher was mad that a lot of two students had done that, and he's like, now everybody's gonna have to handwrite their essays or whatever. And then this student has like a. Has like
that's
a fucking
robot that could write it.
It's basically a what's it called? A 3D printer.
Yeah.
And he's using it to write his homework like if it's like handwritten. So he's still using AI and all that stuff, you know what I mean? It's just crazy, you know what I mean?
Kids now are like the ones that are really adapting to what the internet
grasping that shit. Like,
yeah, man. There's some kids out there are really like they started hacking through what's it called? Grand Theft Auto. On that, and then they've graduated from hacking that and going into like, because once you start gaming, yo, you can start doing stuff with the computer, yo, and you start desktop gaming, it's a whole nother.
Oh yeah, animal. You can.
You know, coding can, too. Yeah,
but find so many glitches,
right?
And edit the game
exactly.
You know how
and then
to
you hack
write
shit.
The code,
so,
yeah.
So I was like, these kids, I've known a few that like, I know some kid that's like from Chicago, and yo, this kid's impressive. Nah, not sure for he's from Illinois, but he's so impressive, yo. I'm like, yo.
Yeah, so I mean, you guys think really where it'll be a thing where they just completely replace people and they go with a ChatGPT type of thing to just write shows, write movies. I don't know what else they write, but I know
that's what
the...
I said. It's like, yes, it can write a scenario for you, but it's still missing the human element.
Well, you know
what? Still need an editor to add that human
and
element.
I'm pretty sure some of these writers are using it too.
You know what's sad about this? I feel like the reality is that they're dumbing down the next generations, so it's gonna be hard. Maybe
well, that's
the next
the thing
generation
about, that's,
will be
afflicted. Because the whole point of technology, right? The whole point of technology is convenience, but also.
Efficiency with time too.
Of time, that's the thing. Is the efficiency
but that's
of
what
time?
Convenience
it's
is,
like
right?
why do we prefer the microwave over cooking on the stove?
Because
it's convenient to put something in the microwave. It's faster than cooking on the
stove. So another thing too. One thing that I like that Gary Vee said. He was like, AI and all that stuff is like the internet. That when people came, people were against it. But those that learned how to use it and you can say monetize another one are the ones that. Are
you
the one,
to think ahead on like, what are the jobs that it's going to create and how I've been saying right now.
That's
editing.
What I'm saying.
It's like, all right, it generates it for you. All right, you're an editor. Though.
But that's what I'm saying. Like we're capable of thinking these things, right?
Yeah.
But we're not. Our generations have been dumbed down so much that we're
obviously a lot of people are losing the art of. For example, the biggest demand that is right now is manual labor, and no one wants to go doing into manual labor. Because it's not the cool thing. It's not the thing to do.
It's not glamorized.
So a lot of people are losing the artisan art. You know, it's like a lot of people don't know how to cut metal anymore or how to do metal design.
But it's crazy because then you
don't
have a CNC machine that does it for you.
By the way, this is one thing that maybe they cannot replace. Who knows? Maybe they can with AI now too. I'm seeing right now that the other union that went on strike were the actors.
But that's because the AI is going to take over like
the CGI.
The CGI.
That's what you're talking about their imaging, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's crazy. Does that affect, do you get actors as well on your stuff as well, Byron, when you guys do payroll and stuff like that? They're called
I think I've seen Jim Carrey's.
They're called
actually.
SAG-AFTRA.
Yeah, I think I've seen Jim Carrey's.
That's the union, SAG-AFTRA.
Yeah, we deal with SAG, SAG.
Yeah, so that's, you know what I mean? That's pretty crazy that those two industries are on strike, so it's affecting a lot more.
I saw a post earlier
and
Hillary Duff.
Yeah, bro, AI is crazy.
On strike.
I mean, I've even seen machines, Enzo, that they're using AI to cut hair.
Yeah, doing eyelashes.
I mean, there's things right now that I use sometimes when I'm making videos. When, let's say, we make a video just using the audio from the thing. There's AIs that'll, you'll put the audio in there and it'll fix the echoes and all that stuff to you to make it sound as clear as possible.
Crazy now.
Yeah, there's a lot of things that...
We're using AI now without even knowing it. What do you think Siri is?
Yeah, that's what it was.
But Siri used to be its own thing before Apple bought it.
Was it? I never knew that.
Apple did not create Siri.
But it was still something, to me, it's like an AI that we use every day.
Oh, of
course. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah,
or Alexa. Alexa is another one. Like, all artificial intelligence.
Cortana, the same thing.
There's, what the fuck is that?
Cortana is the one for Windows.
Exactly. I didn't even know when that shit had.
It's from Halo.
When was the last time you had a Windows computer?
I haven't had Dell since High All the Time on Need for Speed on a Dell desktop.
Exactly, sir.
Yeah, Cortana's from Halo, sir.
Wow. What's that, really? Mm. That's where they grabbed that from?
That's where they grabbed
it. And then the dream was always to go to Macintosh by one point. Now it's called Mac. But
still Macintosh.
No, they don't call it Macintosh no more, bro. That's these new booties don't know
about Macintosh. They don't even call it a Mac, bro. It's a Mac Apple. Air, bro.
Shit, they're trying to be like Jordan now?
You don't know the Mac
I know
Air.
That. I have one. But I'm just saying they're trying to be like Jordan now?
Mac Air?
Because
what's lighter? That was the whole point of it. But it was lighter than the other ones and whatnot, you know what I'm saying?
In other news,
Lil Messi's contract. So yesterday he was presented officially in Miami. He's officially now part of Inter Miami.
It's all good, bro. You missed the crappiest audio ever in
the crappiest live stream I've seen in my life, bro.
Mauricio.
I don't know who they fired. I don't want to trash anybody, bro.
Their broadcasting, bro, was trash, bro.
Audio, like they had, I'm pretty sure the people
with Saudi Arabia, it's Saudi Arabia, Qatar trying to fuck up all the, you know, the money.
The people that were there in person heard it perfectly fine.
What Ronaldo said today?
What did he say?
That the Saudi league is better than the MLS league. That's why all these players are going there and then it's
going
to be more competitive.
Of course.
Next year than the MLS.
Bro. Of course, bro. Better, when you throw a shitload of money out, bro, to the world, it's going to be the best thing in the world.
Yeah,
bro.
But that's
just ask PSG.
But that's my thing.
Right?
But do they win?
That's my point.
I'm
being sarcastic. You know?
Yeah, bro.
They win the titles in the French league.
Not the one that counts.
Exactly, bro.
The
like Ronaldo's being very naive in the sense, bro. They just get Benzema how much? How much did Benzema get, bro? $3 billion or something?
Did he really say that?
200 million per year.
Did he really say that?
Yeah.
Yikes.
Yeah, bro. CR7 said that the Saudi league is better than MLS. Because they were asking him if he can go back to Europe. He's like, nah, that door is closed. No one's going to take me in Europe. I'm 38. Like, he said a lot of stuff, bro. Yeah. He said that the only competitive league right now is the Premier League.
He's getting paid over 120 billion a year.
That's what he said.
That's crazy.
200 million a year.
Should have just kind of played El Salvador.
That's crazy. So, in terms of Messi's contract and what it means here in the United States and to other athletes that are in franchise organizations like the MLS has, basically Messi's contract, he has, I think they're paying him like, I think it's almost like, I think it's in the 30s or 40 millions per season, or maybe a little less than that. I got to look that exact number. But the other incentives that he's getting with the MLS percentages he's getting from Apple, the apparel percentages he's getting from Adidas, and they're comparing that deal, Enzo, of Adidas to Michael Jordan's deal with Nike and all that type thing, you know what I mean? So it's like he's setting himself up for the long term as well. And the cherry on top happens to be that he can also have stake ownership and in any MLS team afterwards, you know what I mean? So
Beckham did that shit. He was like, yo, man, Beckham bought them Inter Miami.
So Beckham was talking about...
That's why Beckham convinced him to come to MLS.
Yeah, Beckham saying that he needs the face.
Beckham said that he made more money in the MLS than he ever did in his career in European football. Because people think of the MLS as less than, but there's a lot of money to be made here, especially in endorsements. Because that's how he made a lot of his money, is in endorsements. Which is the other thing, too, is like now that Messi's here, he's more like a celebrity for us, right? Now that he's in the United States, think of all the interviews he's going to be doing outside of just the interviews he's going to do for soccer, but the shows that he's going to be invited to, where he's going to be asked to speak.
Told you he was a GOAT.
Like, all that stuff, that's all going to be advertisement for him. That's all going to be endorsements for him. So it's going to be more and more.
But no, man, Messi's contract is crazy, though, man. Like, him getting...
getting over, like, about 50 million a year from what I'm seeing. And then...
with the total, all in all.
Well, we don't know what those numbers are going to be till those happen.
They estimate.
It's like 800 million?
Yeah, almost like a billion. That's the estimate they say, but it's an estimate.
Yo, he almost crashed. You guys saw that?
Yeah, because really? He's driving like a maniac, taking red lights, bro. Why are you being escorted, bro?
Nah, there was fans that are trying to... He's already seeing, like, now it's going to be crazy.
Nah, but it's like I'm a talking straight about red the light, video bro. Where the cop is escorting him from behind, and that just takes the red light and almost bro. Hits a
that's
car like,
but
turning
why,
left.
Though? You guys didn't see what the fan was doing? The fan got on the middle road trying to
get up. But that's after that, that's when the cops are supposed to be in front of him, guiding him. So if they're gonna take a red light, they're already like, people are gonna stop. But that fool just
he's in a new country and he hears all about how United States sell, and he probably already got advised on how Dade County is, because that shit is not a fucking nice place, my boy. Where Miami is not a beautiful place. Miami's nice, but Dade County,
a lot of cities he's about to go to when he goes to play.
That's
Chicago
cocaine. That's
it's
cocaine
not gonna
cowboy
be a nice place.
Capital.
When he goes to New York, it's not gonna, I mean, he's playing, I think New York plays in Jersey actually, but
I mean, yeah. It's just United States no está feo, está feito. Está feito que un extranjero venga like aquí, that. Que un extranjero venga aquí y que diga, oh, aquí me voy a venir a vivir.
Oh, it's like that guy, bro, that he's been going viral because he's exposing a bunch of famous countries. Like, he did one where he goes to France. Ooh. And he's like,
the black dude.
He's like, the Eiffel Tower. This is what people come to.
Right.
But look at everything. And right, it's all graffiti. Trash and shit, and it's all, he did one in London too, where he's like, people always want to come to London and they're always saying how it's a beautiful place. But look at how ghetto it is.
Oh shit.
He's doing that like in every country, exposing all the ghettoness.
It's not dope. It's dope, like, the fact that he's getting to travel, because I haven't traveled to those places.
But I was laughing because I'm like, bro, it's like all these people that it's all these cities that people romanticize. Because in films and a lot of things, we're taught to romanticize those things.
Yeah.
Like, a lot of people romanticize France because they associate France love that you brought them. With love, right? Like, there's a whole series on Netflix called Emily in Paris, which is this girl who grew up with idea of going to France and falling in love. And now that thing romanticizes it. But then this dude's exposing, like, it's really not what they say it is.
I mean, it's not, because I just think about it, like... just to switch kind of into something else, like, Adam and Lena got married in Paris. They spent a whole month there. You know what I'm saying?
I'm sorry. I call her Lena.
It's Lena, right? What did I call her? Lena?
Lena?
Oh, Lena was like, with an I. How about Lena?
So, oh, Lena. I know why you say that, because there was a point where he was like, Lena over. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I don't know. You must have seen
probably
that.
Something.
Hey man, how do you think that man is feeling after it leaked?
By the way, when he was pointing that direction, he was pointing at Manny, just for the audience. He was not pointing at me. Just want to make that clear. Because when you're pointing that, you're just pointing that, like, and like the frame ends at some point. So it's like, no, I mean, he's like, maybe a little further, just touch him. Just so it's like, tag
just
your
touch
it.
Him.
Tag your it. Tag you. Okay, there you go. All right.
Continue. That guy, he skimmed through it. So I heard. So I heard.
From the grapevine.
He, you know what I'm saying? Un parajito, un little, una mosquita.
I had,
a fly on the wall told me.
I had four friends send me.
Oh, shit.
Oh, shit. Damn, bro.
Hey.
Like, four friends
Lena,
sent me the link.
Lena.
Like she, yo, this leaked. And I was like.
Lena's a popular girl then, huh?
I guess so, bro. I wasn't even looking to see it, bro. I wasn't even planning to.
Honestly, I wasn't.
It was just like...
I wasn't
okay, okay, okay. I got to ask this question.
I was.
You got it four times within the same day.
You got it the same day.
I'm did you watch it the first time?
Like
the first time you got it, did you see it?
Yeah, that's the once and only once. Oh, I haven't seen it again, bro.
Damn liar. He saw it the first time. He's like, oh, I don't want to see this. And the second time,
bro,
he probably skimmed through it.
I'm
through
pure.
The third time,
my friends are purer than your guys' then.
I even texted what? You guys, and I even told you guys.
I only got it once.
I only got it once, too.
I only seen it once, bro.
Oh, shit.
I only seen it once.
But you got it. You received it first.
I received it.
You have some perverted friends.
Yes, I agree with that. I'm not gonna disagree with that.
Praying for Manny's friends, man. Pray.
But like, the thing for me was like, I felt disturbed. I even texted you guys and I told you this is how I felt. Like, I was like, I was disturbed. I was like, I feel uncomfortable watching this,
bro. I felt
like,
bad,
bro. It doesn't like. I felt like I should not be watching this. Like, it just felt so freaking awkward.
And that's the thing that, like, you know why I feel like we're saying that? Because our conviction is telling you, like, yo, this is a man's wife that we know of.
Yeah. And, like, and the thing is that
you posted a whole video about this shit.
I think this is the other thing. I've never been one to, like, go watch their videos. I know that they do that. I know that they have a blue page and they do that stuff.
Blue page,
but I've never seen their videos.
On my Twitter, I follow Adam22 on my Twitter. So from time to time, since he'll repost something from the plug talk show, yeah. I think that's what it's called. So I'll see some shit going down when it's him and his girl and something. So I'd be like, "That's crazy, dog. You keep doing different females with your girl." So when I'm thinking with my flesh, when I'm thinking with like my dick, I'm like thinking like, "Damn, that's something special. That's dope." But to see him now, and I saw that video, y'all, I took a screenshot, fellas.
Of what?
Of what she said was a complete lie to me. I think it's a lie, y'all. Mm-hmm. I think it's a lie. Because on the podcast, she's saying, oh, I was, guys, tell me if I was completely nervous. Don't look nervous here, baby girl.
Yo.
Like... Yo, look.
She was like, I've never done this. She was like,
bro.
That's a pro move.
Bro, that's like, not even a pro move. That's like a move of like you look at your husband like that. Like you desire him like that. Like your eye contact with your husband and your sex is, and your wife.
Can I say it one more time? I thought I saw an image actually.
With your wife.
No, honestly, because I just think I saw a different image right there. Like,
what image?
I don't know. Let me see that one more time. Like.
Bro, it's just sad.
I don't know if it's the same one.
Just send them the link.
Okay,
Enzo.
It was that one.
Just
okay.
Send them the link.
No, it was because there was another one. I don't know if it was you who said where her eyes are rolling back. Where her eyes are rolling back. So I thought that's
one.
The
one. Real one. No, like that
I sent
too.
That one.
Okay, so I thought I didn't know if it was that one. That's why I had to double check. Because I was was I seeing what I thought I was seeing right now?
That's the one in IG where he's like, this man had her eating the sheets, biting the sheets.
Oh,
yeah. I was like, this is wrong. Bro,
yo,
like,
DJ
wrong.
Academics did a play-by-play. Like, if it was like,
what the fuck?
He was like,
I didn't hear about this.
DJ Academics was like, yeah, man, it's about 8-12 inches in, man. You know what I'm saying? He's stroking that real nice. He was going like, he was talking like that, bro. I'm looking
like
at
like side commentary,
bro. Side, let's blow play-by-play, bro. I'm telling you, I'm looking and I'm just
Academics. You going to hell, bro? I'm sorry, dog.
So
he did.
We are going to hell.
Hold
we
on,
are
hold
going
on,
to hell.
Hold on.
We still reacting to it too. It's blasphemous.
Nah, the bro, way that, like, I'm not doing no play-by-play, dog.
Hold on. He did an hour review of the whole
no!
Oh. He watched the entire
He did the play-by-play, bro.
It wasn't even like a five-minute clip,
on his
bro.
Stream, he... Go, I'll show you, bro. Watch.
Oh, my God.
This is...
I don't need to watch it.
I'm not... He's not doing it. He's not showing it. He's just...
Still, like... I like just...
That's so awkward, bro. You're sitting there in silence and you have your whole Twitch streaming. You're talking to your Twitch followers, bro.
I'm glad I never became. I'm glad I never became a streamer. Cause yeah, bro, that's wild as hell right there. That's crazy. That is wild. I don't know what's crazy. You're letting your wife do that or reacting to an hour long porn video?
Nah, bro. Academics is wild, bro. That's just wrong, bro.
Which one's worse than bro?
Sit through there, bro, and give commentary, bro. Nah, that's just wrong.
Yo. That's some crazy stuff, bro. Bro. Academics is just not it, bro.
You're a wild boy, bro. Offer the views.
Not
offer the content.
Adam's doing it all for the content. So now it's backfiring him because Jason Love is going on a bang bus and doing all these things, like going talking to people, like these girls asking him questions, like how was it and all this shit. And then,
bro, why are they? I'm sorry, bro. Look.
Barstool interview.
Let me.
That got to Adam.
Let me ask something though. This something that trips me out is like, why are we acting like this girl hasn't done porn before either? Like, if this is the first time she gets, like...
Well, the majority of the reason people...
I know it's because it's been a while.
I care about
it because
she's
married.
It hasn't been a dude. That's what people care
about.
It's always been females and it's always
No,
been
but before
man.
That, and I know you said it last week when we were talking about it, before that she had done it with other men. So it's like, there's videos already of her doing this shit, y'all.
But she wasn't married.
I know.
That's
I get
where
it.
It's like.
I don't
no,
get it.
Well, here's the thing.
But why does this want to do play by play?
But the technically, they only been married for a few weeks.
But they've been together for seven years.
They've been together for 7 years. She did this, I think, a week after getting legally married.
This is in Paris.
That's why people were reacting like, bro, how you just get married legally to your wife, and then a week later, she wants to smash another dude. That's why people were like, whoa, what? What you mean? It's different if they would have just still been just boyfriend and girlfriend. Bro.
Yeah. So this guy goes on that podcast and he talks about it, right?
Yeah.
And on the Bang Bus one, he's talking about too. And then
I didn't see that one.
I just saw Adam
a clip of the Barstool one.
I saw Adam reacting to him like with the clip of that thing of him on the Bang Bus one, and he was like talking about, oh, like it's so cringe to me, and it just makes me feel like this is also part of like the whole
keeping it going.
Yeah, keeping it going, keeping people talking, because it's like the first step is releasing it, getting that reaction and all that stuff, and then everybody's going to be talking about it when they go on his podcast and all that. That was already going to like happen. Right. The next step is this guy going out and talking about it, and now it's like Adam's like, oh, now you want it. It's like, what are they going to expose? What is it that they're going to expose, bro?
Here's the other thing, bro.
What is it they're going to expose, dog? Like, really?
What about the people that paid for it?
That's wild, too, bro. There's always a market, bro. Think about it.
That's sad though, bro. I'm just saying. Like, honestly, to me, it's like what I was telling the shop the other day, because we were talking about it, and this is what I was talking about it after it leaked, and I'm just telling the guys because it was a packed house that day, and I'm just kind of the angle of like the moral compass and look how the fabric of society is being torn apart and all that shit. Because like, and
bro, did you know that monogamy is now a kink?
Wow.
Being monogamous is a kink now.
Isn't polygamy a kink too, though?
Not really. But
polygamy and all that has become normal, that now being monogamous is the kink now.
But is it, though? I don't think it is. I think that's what I think they're trying to make us believe it is, but it isn't really. Because even still, I think our conviction as humans still puts us in a box where we're like, oh, snap, we're not doing the right thing, but we're just degenerates. As a society right now, that we don't care. That's what it seemed like. And that's what I was telling the guys at the shop, that it just seems like nobody has self-respect. Nobody has dignity. Nobody has integrity. Like, come on. We just abolished damn near bail in California. There's no more bail. It's not like you commit a crime and you're out quickly. It's sad, though, but it's the reality we're living in.
Yep.
And they're not respecting marriage. So I don't wish nothing, no harm on anybody, but I feel like society.
Here's the other thing, dude. Going back to him,
hopefully,
bro,
not their kids, you know?
Because I seen the clips of him doing the review with his wife, and you can, I don't know, the look on him, you can tell he regrets it, bro. Like the look on his face, and you can tell how he's trying to mask it by trying to be funny. But you can see, like, it's getting to him, bro.
I don't know, bro. That whole thing in general is just, it's pretty wild to me. It's pretty wild to me, and it's gotten to the point where it's like, at the same time, like I said, it's more like, I don't want to say it. I mean, yeah, it's a total distraction, bro.
But look at what he's saying, bro.
It's a total distraction. Doing this sitting, hey, Jason. Yeah, it sounds Christian.
I trusted you.
That's what I'm telling you, bro. I saw something earlier too where he was talking about, he's like, we live in a world where people can be trans, people can be do all this and that. And he's like, you can't let somebody else like smash your wife, this, this, and that. Like, and I'm like, bro, really? Like, you're gonna compare all those things?
That's what I'm telling you, bro. And then to me, it's like the circle of influence you got. You're just gonna send kids.
I saw a tweet of his too. That I don't know if it was like a legit tweet of his, but he was like saying like, oh, everybody likes love something black about black people, but they won't let them smash their wife. And I'm like, bro, like, that don't got nothing to do with it.
It doesn't have nothing.
That's
to
not
do
what
with
Martin Luther King was talking about.
This is the other,
that's not the dream he had.
If that's the case,
all the people that he let go were the people that told him,
don't let this happen.
They were like, this could happen. They would always tease him and tell him, like, it's a possibility. There's going to be a day that you're going to allow it to happen. And he would be like, no, I'm never going to do that. What did he say in Andrew Schultz thing? Oh, I make so much money that
I don't
let
need to
her
do
get
it.
Smashed by a donkey dick. He said that on Andrew's pod, bro. And what happened?
But that's what I'm trying to tell you, man.
So,
like, everything.
So did Andrew clip that part and put it out there?
Yes, he already did.
Other people clipped it and put it out there.
It's just.
And he said donkey dick.
Everything's for sale, man.
Say that, bro.
See, bro, like,
have some self respect for yourself, man. Like, have some self respect.
You get damn near say, that's
have
racist, some
dignity. Dog. Have integrity. And even when nobody's watching, man, I know, trust me, I'm coming for somebody that's done some shit. I've done some shit. And now that I have kids, I'm like, yo, I just hope and pray that my kids don't try to grow up too fast like I did. Because when you're trying to grow up too fast at an early age, because you're seeing shit, because you're influenced by shit, it's going to affect you. And then you create trauma in your own, you're self-inflicting trauma on you because you're trying to speed up your process that you shouldn't be speeding up. But to each his own, I'm just trying to teach y'all not to fucking try to speed up your process.
It's just crazy because that just, I mean, talking about porn and all that stuff, it goes into a deep industry that, like, you know, in a sense, it's getting, you could say it's getting very, very much exposed and all that stuff. So, you know,
what you guys watch this weekend, man?
With this, just how I would like to say, it's all connected.
It's all connected. That's on chain.
So, you know, with this industry, because all this is at the end of the day, it's just porn, but it just happens to be being two people that have made a living amongst the YouTube community and the OnlyFans community and all that stuff. And now they're married. Now it's this whole thing, you know what I mean? But it still goes back into that funnel of, like, you know, and that funnel right now, what we saw where it's connected to is this new movie called Sound of Freedom.
That you guys didn't invite me to, huh?
I was invited, you know what I mean? We were invited.
You couldn't invite me?
I mean, bro, like, we just, you was a family man, dog. I wouldn't understand.
Where did you come after? Was I home with my family? Huh?
Hey, bro, I didn't know that until afterwards.
Boom, boom, y'all, man. Adios, Sound of Freedom, man. I'm just the host on the podcast. It's just the host.
For the record, we didn't tell Byron either. Just no.
Byron, we're just hosts. And then
just be like, oh, and then we're going to Universal.
Going to Universal. You went to New York without me, bro.
We're going to the Mario World.
When?
We haven't even got tickets for that.
Shut up, bro. Y'all going for real? I gotta take Endo and shit.
And Aubrey.
Oh, shit.
We'll discuss that. So,
let's discuss it right now because y'all gonna need me out. Eladio. Freddie Gibbs.
Nah, the Freddie Gibbs.
Fuck you.
For the Freddie Gibbs.
Liza Minnelli.
You had a ticket.
Liza Minnelli.
You had a ticket. You Liza didn't show up.
Liza Minnelli didn't show up. Liza Minnelli.
Show up.
Liza Minnelli was late.
Y'all killed the transition.
Anywho.
All right. So, The Sound of Freedom was a movie concerned about child human trafficking, more just human trafficking, because it's like, it's talking more about children. But on the greater scheme of things, we were talking about it before the podcast. It happens to also older females and older people, and just in Mexico as well. Like, I mean, I was, before I left home, my parents were watching the news and they're talking about two people that had gotten kidnapped in Mexico that just got released by the cartels and type of stuff like that. You know what I mean? So this movie was kind of going over how, by the way, spoiler alert, because we're going to kind of go in.
Spoil it, yeah.
You know what I mean? Spoil basically. So the movie starts off.
What I called it.
The movie starts off with this girl singing and playing, beating this drum type of thing. And she's like, she has a really nice voice and all that type of stuff. Very little girl, bro. Probably like.
But you don't understand the message completely.
No.
What it means. Yeah, what she's singing.
She's just like.
It's in a dialect. It's like Latin dialect where you're like, what does this mean? But they don't let you know until the end of the film.
Yeah. So she's doing all that. And then the movie cuts to like. Her like asking her dad to be a part of like this talent agency type of thing. You know what I mean? So he does it. He takes her, and you could tell that the guy is a single dad and all that stuff. So he takes both kids, actually. His daughter, which you could say maybe is like 12 years old probably, and then the son is like 7 or something like that. Let's say those ages around that, 10, 7 years old. And then they take him, and then the lady that is doing this thing, you find out later on in the movie that she happens to be a beauty pageant winner from Colombia. You know, type of thing. So it's kind of like,
that's the hook,
if you will. Because I mean, you don't know that at the beginning, but just later on, that connection's like, oh, that's probably why he also trusted, you know, that person, because it was like she's a known figure or something like that.
But
at the same time, like now that I'm thinking about that, if she really had that credential, maybe he didn't know it because he's in Honduras. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Yeah. So, but the thing is,
because they don't get her sketch later on. But point is that he takes them there. I'm sorry, I had that tangent just hit me because of that detail. Whee! But he takes them to the place, and it's like, it looks like just like an apartment building almost type of thing. And it has like,
more like block studios. You know how like here in LA, like there's like studios where it's like each room. But when the door opens, like there's a bunch of kids, there's a camera. Cameras, it looks like an audition place.
Looks like the podcast. You know what I mean? Point is that like, so she, the two kids go inside and he wants to go inside and she's like, oh no, come back at 7. And then he's like, all right. So he leaves. They take a pictures of all the kids. And as they're taking pictures of the kids, they start to, especially to like, I mean, to each kid, they do something different, like to change, not to change their appearance almost, but to like adjust them. It. Like, for example, the boy, he came in with a button. He had a polo shirt. He had a button up shirt. They unbuttoned it and they cuffed up his sleeves right there. Type of thing. That was just one detail that I
made him look older, basically.
Yeah, type they of sexualized
thing.
Them.
And basically. Then the girls, they like she had her hair in a ponytail. They laid it down and like let it out in like a very flowing way, and then put like lipstick on her, started taking pictures and all that stuff. So it's like all that stuff. And then the movie cuts to I think the agents here in LA, right? Mm-hmm. And then they're basically about to go in on a child predator like that. He's like, he's basically like passing on like information of children and all
he's
that type
of
stuff.
He's a broker of the children. Basically,
you know what I mean? So that's, they break in on him and all that stuff. They take him to jail and all that stuff. And then the agent starts talking to him. That this agent's Tim Ballard, starts talking to him and like basically, he's like takes him on a walk and all that
stuff.
Hold
on. He starts talking to him because Tim Ballard's partner asks him something specific. He tells him a question. How many perps have we put away? He's like, well, we've put away 228. And he asks, but how many children have we saved? He said, 0. We never saved the children. That's not how our system works. He's like, wow. He's like, wouldn't we make a difference if we could save a child?
And his partner's resigning.
What Tim wants to do.
And his partner's resigning because he can't handle the stuff that he sees, especially that guy that they get, bro. When they break into his house, he has, like, files of kids from a bunch of different countries, bro. Like, all these files are set up of, like, their pictures and like, code names they've came up for them and all that stuff. Like, all this type of stuff, you know what I mean? So
and video footage of what's been done to them.
That too, bro.
And they exactly. And the thing is that as agents, they have to watch it. And like write notes on everything
that happened.
They had to log in all that data.
So you just see like him, like obviously you don't show. Yeah. And then you see him like, cause him tearing up and all that stuff. And then that's when like he breaks in one moment. He goes to go talk to that guy, and he just starts talking to him and all that stuff. And then they like take a walk. And then he basically convinces him that he's like a pedo too. And he starts telling him all this stuff.
He's like trying to fight the system? Or
he's trying to get more information and trying to like really like, you know, really get a real charge on this guy type of thing. You know what I mean?
Because so makes him think he's a pedophile?
Too? Yeah. So he starts telling him all the stuff of like what they do and all that type of stuff. And then like he basically gets him out for a week. And during that time, he like... They go to Colombia, I don't know where they go.
No. So he gets him out for a week.
They meet up with people.
He meets up with people because he tells them that he wants to request the kid to sleep with.
Mm-hmm.
So he's like, set it up so that I can sleep with the kid. And they basically, he sets it up. He meets the guy.
He surveils him and they get all those photos too.
They get the evidence of who's the guy he's talking to. How are they passing the money? How are they setting this whole meetup up? He arrests the pedo. And then he goes to the border to then arrest the guy that's bringing the child that he's supposedly going to sleep with.
And then he arrests the original pedo again because he actually provided him a child. So at first he was like getting charged with some other shit. Then he gets charged for actually...
Wait, isn't that kind of double actually, jeopardy?
Huh? What do you mean? No, because one charge is like having to do with like a but different
you,
aspect
you
of it.
Them, you tricked them into... Doing it though,
yeah. That's one thing that I kind of questioned about
manipulated him into
about the whole thing. I'm not gonna lie,
because he wanted to. Yeah, as far as what you're saying, as I'm collecting that, what you're gathering, what you guys are saying,
mm-hmm.
he manipulated him into getting a kid so that he could rescue him, right? Mm-hmm.
Yeah,
that was the intent. So it was like you did,
and it's interesting.
You did something questionable. But the end result was for...
He works for Homeland Security, too, which is interesting because they approved it. They allowed it to happen, too.
Oh, shit.
So, like, yeah, like, he didn't do anything behind their back, basically. Like,
nah, he had his supervisor's approval through the whole
especially
thing.
To take him out of jail for a week and to get that whole process done. Like, he let them do that.
And then this guy agreed to him getting let out for a week?
Yeah.
Well, the thing is that the guy doesn't know that he's getting out for a week. He thinks he's getting let go for free forever.
He's being released.
Yeah, being released. They make it seem like that's terms.
That's what I'm saying. That's a manipulation.
Yeah. Yeah.
So he's let out on bail, or not on bail, but like
they let him out with certain agreements. Like you're gonna like he was gonna help him provide certain things too, and like he went to another extent. Like he went to that extent because this guy. Yeah, manipulated. Yeah, for sure.
It's because he gets to him by telling him, "Oh, I read your book, and your book is about this, and I believe this." So it's like, he manipulates the guy into believing, like, "Oh, he's really one of us."
Yeah.
And what ignites everything from there is
when he rescues
the first kid that he's ever rescued. You know, he asks him for his real name. The kid gives him his code name. He's like, "I want to know your real name," and he gives him his real name. And then he takes his kid, you know, to medical care. In medical care, they tell him everything this kid has been through in the last few weeks.
He has lacerations that reflect being raped and all that.
Yeah. So then after he takes this kid to eat. And when this kid, bro, is like,
at the moment when he got taken, bro, he was like 7 years old. And when he gets taken to eat, he asks him, like, "Oh, what month is it?" He's like, "Oh, it's July." Happened to be almost parts of at the moment when we're watching the movie. It was July 12th or something like that. We're on the 15th. So I was like, "Oh, snap." And he was like, "Oh, my birthday's back in April, so I'm 8 years old now." So he was gone for like a good amount of time.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Where he's like.
So when they're eating, they go to a diner and they're eating. He starts asking him, like, "How did you get here? What happened?" So then this little kid then begins to tell him the story. Right, he tells him how he was kidnapped from Honduras and he was taken to Colombia. And then from Colombia, he was separated from his sister. And he was
kidnapped the sister too?
Yeah, they kidnapped him and the sister. Mm-hmm. So his sister
and all the kids that were in the whole thing too, by the way.
So when his sister stayed in Colombia and then he was taken to Mexico by another guy. So and then in Mexico, he's taken to the border in TJ.
And it's the guy that the pedo meets up with to arrange for the agent to buy.
They take him to like a stripper club, basically. And
in TJ.
In TJ. And basically, it's like in the front, it looks like, oh, it's just a strip joint. But he's like a special package for certain people if they want to do that at the strip joint. And like, there's a female that like, "Oh, she gives him the code name. We're going to name you this." And she's like, "Oh, you're going to make me so much money." Like, she's telling him all this.
She's grooming him.
He basically, yeah. And as like, he's telling the agent.
How did you guys feel when you guys watched this movie?
Bro, my blood was boiling the entire time, bro. I was trying
There's a part in that.
I was trying not to like walk out. I was trying not to throw things. I was real angry, bro.
There's a part.
Like, real angry.
Before, I don't know if it's before they're going to cross the border or something like that. I think, it's before they get caught where like, he just got the kid and they're like in a hotel room or apartment, whatever. And he's like, he has food for him. And he's eating, and then he's reaching for the next piece of bread, and he's like, "Oh no!" Like,
"Oh no, you gotta explain that. That's not what the agent."
It was the pedo already.
Before
he gets like rescued and all that.
When he's taken to Mexico.
Yeah, so like he's in there, and like the guy like withholds that second piece of bread from him, and he's like, "Oh no! Like the only way you're gonna get this is if you do me a favor or whatever like that." He's like, "First of all, you have to do everything as I say, because if you don't, they're gonna hurt your sister." And all that type of stuff. And then he goes, he's like, and then all that type of stuff is like, if you do what I say, like, you're going to get the food and all that stuff. So this is before I think he even, like, raped him or anything. This is, like, initially when he first gets him into his possession. And he like, the kid agrees. I mean, he has an 8, you know, pretty sure and pretty good. All that type of stuff. So then, and then all that stuff happens. So when I'm seeing that type of stuff, too, it's just kind of like, it's really a dark place. I mean, for just a human to really be able to manipulate and to like mess with a kid like that, and that shit, bro, it was very triggering. It was very
what I was telling him, bro. And I was like, there's a lot of things where it's like you're triggered because like if you've been, for example, we've talked about this, how like, you know, we've gone through situations. So You're triggered because you're getting flashbacks of what might happen to you, mm-hmm. what happened to you. You're triggered in that sense. And then you're also triggered because you're like, yo, why is this even happening? How are there people like this?
Mm-hmm. And you especially, know, like, and like, it's to like to that level too, where it's like, they're about to use these kids for sexual purposes. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, you know what I mean? So it goes to that point, and then they rescue the kid, and he's telling him about all this stuff, and when they get separated, then the dad comes back, they reunite the dad and the son, and then he starts asking, like, please try to rescue my sister, this, this, and that. And, like, he convinces the homeless kid to let him go to Colombia for a bit. He goes there, he connects with somebody that used to be formerly part of the... Well, he connects first with a policeman from Colombia, then that guy connects him with someone that was formerly in the cartel with Colombia. He did his time, he came out, and then his whole thing was he started to buy children to basically set them free because he knew what was going on, especially in Colombia, and he's in Cartagena. This is where this whole thing was going down, in Cartagena, which has, like... port out to the...
It's the ports to Colombia. The ocean. Right. Because the way they would transport kids out of Honduras is that they would put them on a ship container, and then that boat then goes to Colombia.
And it's like, that's another thing that we've
seen. That's how they do Asians
Even before the movie, we've seen shit like that. Yeah, just human trafficking. It does not even have to be just children. Humans in general are just put in a freaking shipping container, and sometimes, bro, they end up in China, dog.
That's crazy. Like,
China, bro.
That's what's crazy. I feel like... human necessity sometimes it makes people do extremes that, like you were saying the other day, like, what would you do if you're like you're broke and you just want your kid to, you know, reap some benefit for the family or something.
Yeah, so taking her to the agency and all that.
You're taken advantage by your desperation of income or your desperation.
And he's a single dad.
And it was sad, you know, like to hear that.
Single dad, and his daughter does have talent, as is shown in the movie.
And think about it. Like, think about it. He's also leaving his daughter with a woman, too. So him in his mind is probably also assuming, like, it's better leaving it with a man, maybe. Like, and just, you know, trying to think in his terms, maybe, you know, type of thing. Being a single father and all that. And I'm like, bro, like, that's intense. So, basically, they get to Cartagena, and then, like, the Colombian dude starts, like, telling him what he does and why and all that type of stuff. And again, that how he used to be part of the cartel and all that stuff. But I'm trying to think. After that, like, what is it that happens, Manny? Is that when they... when they start talking about
no, so he's trying to figure out how to get he asked, like, who are the players that move people in Cartagena? So they tell him, like, all right, this is the players that move things around, and he's trying to get to a specific lady, which is the lady that we're talking about that comes out in the beginning of the film. They're trying to get to her, but they tell him, like, hey, no one gets to talk with her because she doesn't talk to anybody she doesn't trust or anybody she doesn't know. That's how she's been able to get away with this for years, is that she only talks to people she knows and people she trusts.
Right.
She doesn't talk to newcomers. Mm. So the way they try to get to her, right, is by getting to one of her associates. So they get to one of her associates, and they sell an idea to that associate. The idea is they want to do an island... that they want to do like a pedo island basically off the coast of Colombia, and they want like people to pay $100,000 per kid, like to have the rich pay that much per kid, and they request that it needs to be 50 kids
at minimum
to be delivered. So they sell that idea to one of her associates, and then that associate gets excited. He brings it to the table to her and then other associates, and now they're willing to sit down and do it. However, the other part of it too is the agent talks to this billionaire who basically he has done work in the past with the CIA and for Homeland Security in order to catch bad guys. Well, he'll participate, you know, in doing things. So he asked him to fund this. He's like, I need you to fund this island. I need you to make it look legit. I need you to spend the millions. And this is all for the sake of saving children. So, like, the guy is willing to do it.
So he's going to kind of do it the opposite way of, like, oh, we're going to buy these kids freedom back, kind of, in a sense.
Yeah, but he's setting up the whole... He's providing the funds to orchestrate the whole
to make it seem like it's legit.
Yeah, you know.
Yeah, because they buy the island. They make it seem like they show the like the contract of
and
the
they also they and they also have to technically pay for the kids that they're providing. So that's like, so it's like paying to set them free basically too. So that happens and they set it up and like, while he's trying to do it, like the Homeland Security pushes back and they basically pull him from doing it, and then like that's when the cartel guy's like, oh, we're fucked, we can't do anything about it.
And then the billionaire pulls out at that point.
Too. Yeah. But there's something that happens again. And that's
like a curveball there.
The billionaire tells him, he's like, I was okay with it when the U.S. government approved it. I'm not okay with it of going solo.
Like a lone venture. Yeah. Type of stuff. But, so then he starts talking to them about like, he starts asking the Colombian dude, like, you know, why did you start doing this? And he gives a story, bro, that like, it tripped me out a lot. Because he starts saying how, like, he's like, he did time in jail, right? And then he got out. He's like saying how he went back to the first day he just went to his high rise apartment in Cartagena, 15th floor, just chilling. The second day, mm-hmm. he went back to the cartel life and doing all that stuff. And that one day he had gotten an escort and all that.
Well, he had gotten really drunk, he says.
Yeah, he had gotten an escort, and it was a girl that looked 25 or whatever. That's what she said. He did everything with her, and then at the end they were talking and whatnot, and then like turned out that like this girl basically happened to be 14 years old. And he said there's a moment where I looked into her eyes, and he's like, and for that moment I like looked into her soul. And he's like, and I saw just sadness. He's like, but in that moment she left, and as soon as she left and closed the door, I realized that I was the darkness and the sadness in her eyes and all that type of stuff. And he was like, he had a gun ready to his head, and he was like, and there's always a moment that you ask if there's a God, and he was like, and when God tells you to do something, he was like, you don't hesitate. So that's when this guy heard that, and he was like, you know what, I'm basically quit my job, and I'm gonna still pursue this. Pete, and then he does that, and that's when he still goes to the billionaire to tell him that, and the guy's like, nah, I'm not with it. And then the guy like goes away or whatever, and then he sends him a picture of that girl, of the sister of the boy, and she says like, if it's not for the 50 kids, just do it. Let's do it just for this one girl that was taken and all that type of stuff. So it's like that's where the guy like gets convinced to do it. So they do the whole island thing. They bring the 50 kids, and even in that whole thing, bro, like that they're able to catch the people and all that type of stuff. Like in that aspect, they caught over 50 kids, I believe. They're able to rescue 50 kids and caught the bad people. But the girl wasn't in it. She wasn't a part of that group.
Why?
Once they were able to interview the people, they found out that they had sold that girl before that whole thing had happened. And they happened to have sold her. To the guerrilla warriors, yeah, los guerrilleros and the rebels of that were in Colombia that live in the jungle and all that type of stuff. So it's like that's kind of like somewhere where like the government isn't even like to get involved because it's like
it's guerrilla.
Yeah, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So then like that they're like, oh, well, you know, she's gone. We can't do anything about it. This and that. And then they're like thinking like, well, who are the only people that can go in there? And they going through and like, well, medical people are the only ones that can go in there. Like when they have vaccines or something, like there's a dengue or something like that. That's what the Colombian guy says. He's like, when there's a dengue or something like that, these guys need vaccines because their people start dying because they don't have the vaccines. They don't have things to combat it. So they're like, all right, that's the way they're going to do it. So they do it where they get vaccines and they get fake IDs and all that type of stuff. And then they go through the river and then they get caught up with those guys.
Right?
Huh?
The firefight, right?
That they just start shooting at them. They don't go in there with guns or anything like that.
Oh, they shoot at them though.
Yeah. So they go to the thing and he has to go alone because they don't let both of them go. So he goes alone, takes all the things with them. He meets with the guy, like the head guy and all that type of stuff. And he tells him like, oh, like I need to do these vaccines because, you know, like if not, like you persons can get infected and they can die. And he's like, I need to just go through and see people who might be already like infected. And if someone's infected, it's better that we take them away to quarantine. And then he was like, that's like the procedure that we're following. And then he's like, this is a procedure I follow. He takes a lighter and he fucking lights up with the papers he brings them and all that. And he's like, he just basically tell him like, yeah, but if you want, go ahead and check people. So he starts checking people to look for the girl. And then he eventually finds her and like, he says her name and all that stuff. And she like responds and all that. So then like, at night he like sneaks around to find it, and those fools are all like, it's like a kind of like a classic story of these fools are all just in a bonfire getting drunk and singing songs because they have no other entertainment, you know what I mean?
Right, right.
So then they go to the, this fool finally finds the little girl
at night.
Yeah, and then like she screams when she gets woken up. So he hears that, so he goes to check up on her. And this fool, when he does that, he tells her to calm down. That's why he's gonna rescue her. And he's hiding underneath the wherever she's like laying on the bed, right? And then he's like, at first, like he lays with her, and he like, bro, I thought that he was gonna rape her right where he was like while he was underneath it. Mm-hmm. I thought that's what was gonna happen in that movie, bro.
Oh, the bad guy?
Yeah, when like he goes to lay with her and all that stuff, I thought that he was gonna do it right then and there. I was like, damn.
So the agents like
underneath the bed, bro.
Underneath the bed, the main military guy comes in, the guerrillero.
And he's the head,
calming her down, and then he pulls her, then he throws her on another bed.
But then, initially he lays down with her, but so when he did that, I thought, I was like, nah, bro, like it's not about to happen with this food, like. I was like, you know what I mean? That's what I thought was going to happen in the movie. But then he does that, and then that's when this food, like, hand-to-hand combat, and then basically Bull pusses out a Charles Oliveira and backs him, you know what I mean? And, like, there was no ref, so, you know, he chokes him out, you know what I'm saying?
So what about the other guys didn't see him fighting him?
He's able to escape with the girl, but then his homies come to check on him, and then they realize that, you know, something happened, and they all have radios and stuff like that. So, like, there's someone, like, camped out right next to the river where he has to get away. So then, like, that's where they, like, kind of catch up to him. And then, like, he's able to get away and all that stuff, though. So, yeah, that's kind of how, like,
that reunites the dad with the daughter.
Mm-hmm. So that's how the whole movie kind of goes down and whatnot.
And then in the end, because the dad had bought her a drum for her to play when she comes home. In the end, she starts playing that drum, and you hear the same song that you heard her singing in the beginning. But now they put the subtitles of what it says, and the song is God's Children Are Not For Sale.
Oh, shit. In Spanish?
Yeah. Nah. Is it
like a kind of like Aladdin. It doesn't sound like Spanish when she's singing it.
Oh, shit.
Yeah.
Interesting.
But he gave you the whole synopsis. That's the whole movie, bro. So now you don't even have to go watch it.
I don't got to watch it,
bro.
I'm about to wait.
Don't
stream,
because him, he doesn't watch the stream anyway. And that was a spoiler alert for you guys anyway. So,
well, if you would have heard what the interview, he says that eventually Elon Musk has already said that he's willing to put it up on Twitter for everybody to see for free.
Well, hasn't he?
So, no, they're waiting for it to like continue.
You want to milk the cow, huh?
And then after it's hit theaters, then they're going
to
release it.
Well, I heard that in many, I don't know if it did, like, I need to check the numbers, but I had heard that it was beating Tom Cruise's Mission Impossible.
It also beat the first week of Indiana Jones.
It beat Indiana Jones as well.
And the Element movie, right?
Mm-hmm.
So, I mean, there was a lot of things where theaters were not...
It was released on 4th of July weekend, right. And it beat all those...
We usually go to Cinemark, bro. The closest Cinemark that had it was Baldwin Hills.
Really? These other ones don't have it?
Mm-hmm. I mean, we went to go watch it at Regal Sherman Oaks.
Horrible theater, bro.
Which one is that, Sherman Oaks?
That's
Regal.
That's old Arclight.
That's where the Arclight used to be.
You don't like it?
Horrible,
I used to like their bar.
Nah, the Arclight was bomb, bro.
They don't have a bar there no more?
Yeah, they
now
still do.
Now it's Regal.
Yeah, so what's wrong with Regal?
But with Regal, bro, you could tell the upkeep. Bro, they didn't even have Apple Pay, bro.
They slid my card. They slided it. When's the last place you go somewhere where they slide
you? Sherman's Galleria?
Yeah.
Bro, it's bad, bro. We went there just because they had it. But I would never go back to that theater again, bro.
Facts. Cinemark. But screw y'all for not having
it. Here's the other thing, bro. They don't have reclining seats. The whole time.
I stopped going there because of that.
Like when I was sitting there, I was like, before the movie started, I told your brother, I was like, damn, we're spoiled, bro.
That's why I stopped going there.
I was like, yo, this doesn't feel right. This is not the position. I watch a movie in the theater.
This fool sat down and was like, give her the button and shit. Like, nothing's fucking working.
Really? You did that?
Yeah, bro. That's what he did, bro. And I was like, Manny, calm down. People are looking at you. Nah, bro. But it was also, there was a message at the end of the movie. You can say a post-credit scene, if you will. If it pretty much was that. But another thing was that there was a timer that came up when the credits came. It was like, in 2 minutes, this will come up. It's like so that they'd keep people to come, and it's what I sent you, basically, where he's talking about, you know, the importance of this movie being watched and all that type of stuff, and how, like, a lot of big groups, tech companies, and, like, other, you know, elites, if you will, were against this movie coming out. And at the end, they give a QR code that you can basically pay for other people's tickets. So if someone doesn't have the means to go watch it, they can still go. Someone can, they can go on that link and watch it for free. They'll get a ticket to go watch it at the movie theater. And he explains how their goal is for people to watch it in theaters, so that, like, because they feel like in theaters you're there without distraction. You're there watching it, and you're like watching the movie. You're not distracted by anything. So their goal is for people to watch it as much as possible in person. You know what I mean?
So you don't want me to watch it in stream, huh?
You know what I mean? Yeah. I mean, they're pretty sure they put it on there, but they're like, now, like you said, it's also milking the cow in that aspect. You know?
I pre-ordered it already.
That's dope, because my dad's waiting for that too, actually, because I told him about it today.
You know, it's interesting. I just got the notification. Flash just released.
Yeah, I mean,
did you hear that DC pulled it from theaters?
They pulled it from theaters?
I told you, bro, that it was trash. It made the worst numbers of a DC film.
That's because of the whole outrage that Ezra did with the whole thing. His trash. Allegations.
Trash.
I think we talked about it.
We reviewed it. I said
we had a whole podcast.
I said it was trash.
I clipped it. She did.
He made a whole reel of me saying it's trash.
You didn't say it's trash. It was that night. You didn't say it was trash.
Yeah, that night he didn't say anything. The night of the podcast, we talked about it, he said it.
Why'd you feel like that?
Say that.
Because of the review.
The CGI, and he said that there was no story. He didn't like the time travel. We already went through this.
You don't like time travel. Did you see the new Transformers?
They did it again.
No, I said that.
I saw a little bit of it, and they kind of used that shit, too.
It's on there.
You bought it already?
Yeah.
Oh, I'll check it out. I haven't watched it.
I like the Porsche. I'll say that.
I'm gonna go watch The Flash. Enzo actually liked that. I loved watching that movie because
I told you
it was our first movie that I saw with my son. That it's like an adult movie that he actually like, bro. I wanted to cry, bro. Like to have him there, and then like he was glued and kept coming back. Like, and I was just
the
like,
only
Enzo,
thing
you
I
like
told
it?
You
He's like,
good
yeah,
about
it's cool.
That was the nostalgia
of what?
The nostalgia of like you're watching the old Batman. You have like. Nostalgia. That's what.
Yeah,
made
that's
it,
what he said.
That's the only. Good
I'm gonna
part.
Watch the Flash with him today. See how he likes it.
Bapa.
Tonight.
Bapa. So. You know what I'm saying? But yeah, if you guys haven't checked out Sound of Freedom, go ahead and check it out.
Check it out.
You know, if you're able to watch it in theaters, go ahead and check it out. Yeah, man.
Illuminati. Peace out, y'all.